Good morning. How are you doing? So welcome to SQL Saturday. It's Saturday morning. It's 8 a.m. But I'm sure you don't need to be reminded of that. But thanks for attending this event. Thanks for attending this session. And what we're going to talk about is master data services in SQL Server 2016 and how it can help you, how it can help your business. We look at the pros and cons and so on. But first, a little bit about myself. My name is Dan Gallivan. I've been working with SQL Server since St. Patrick's Day 2003. Now, I don't have a predisposition that on public holidays I install SQL Server and that's what I do. I happen to be working in Germany at the time. And unfortunately, it's not a national holiday there. But I'm a data architect with Bearing Point. They're a consultancy firm. I've been working with Master Data Services since 2013, so really since Master Data Services 2012, a little bit with 2008 R2. And I presented at a number of MTUG Dublin events, MTUG Belfast, Lightning Talk at SQL Bits in Liverpool a number of weeks ago. And I've also presented a Lightning Talk at the SQL Server World Summit in Seattle last October, and if you haven't been to Seattle, I can assure you that the weather doesn't take much getting used to. So we're going to look at master data management first, because irrespective of whether you've master data services or anything else, it's very important to understand what master data is, what master data management is, why do you even need it. We're going to look at the application itself, what's new in 2016. We're going to do a demo. And given the time that's in it and the day that's in it, it's going to have a Euros theme. We're going to look at, as I said, the pros and cons of master data services. And we're going to look, try and answer the question, how far can master data services take your business? So what is master data? Well, for me, the best definition of master data is actually from Wikipedia, okay? So master data represents the business objects which are agreed on and shared across the organization or across the enterprise. And this is at the heart of it. So these keywords here, business objects that are agreed on, where there's a consistency to your data and shared across the organization. Master data can support transactional and operational processing. Typical examples, classic examples, customers, products, employee lists, materials, suppliers, and vendors. And the real classic examples of master data would be your product catalog or your customer catalog. Also, it can be sales documents, anything else. So really, if you look back at the definition here, it's objects that are agreed on and shared. So if data falls under that, those categories, they are candidates for master data. So what's master data management? Well, looking at Gartner's definition, a technology-enabled discipline in which business and IT work together to ensure uniformity, accuracy, stewardship, semantic consistency, accountability of the enterprise, official shared master data assets. But really, again, the key words here in terms of defining master data management, these are the most important. Business and IT working together. Because who knows, who understands the product list or the customer list better than the people that are working with the data? They don't have to be part of the IT function directly. They don't have to be techies. But business users will be as familiar as anyone in terms of their product catalog or their customer catalog and being able to say what right looks like. Is this data correct? Or being able to work that out. So if you have something that can enable a non-techie to facilitate them, to be able to articulate, yeah, this data is okay, or to manage and look after the data, then that ticks the master data management box. Some of the other keywords here, uniformity, accuracy, stewardship, semantic consistency, accountability. It all boils down to the single version of the truth. I'm sure you may have heard of that phrase once or twice, single version of the truth. And master data assets. So, master data management supports data governance. So that whole concept of looking after data and the data lifecycle. Who creates the data? Who manages the data? Who can access the data? Who makes sure the data is in good nick? End-to-end and data lineage following the life cycle of your data. So, we did some work with a customer whereby they're regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland. And because they're working with master data services, it ticks a lot of compliance boxes in terms of that centralized version of the truth, in terms of who can access the data and managing that data. So master data management can really help with compliance. As I said, data quality and data consistency and that single version of the truth, that golden record. Reporting. So, obviously data quality is all about how do you know you can trust your data, and if your data isn't reliable, it's going to have a knock-on effect on your reporting. So if you get your master data right, if your master data is reliable, like your product list and your customer list, then that's really going to benefit reporting and obviously decision-making. And you can't talk about anything in IT without talking about profitability, because if you are proactive about looking after your master data, your data is more reliable and it's more trustworthy and will help with your decision makings, with your decision making. As the marketing expert AC Nielsen said, the price of light is less than the cost of darkness. Master data management empowers the business. So, as mentioned earlier, the person looking after master data doesn't have to be a techie. They don't have to be part of the IT function directly. They can be part of the business, and they're nicely positioned to look after master data. So something like master data management, or something like master data services, really helps to empower the business, where if they need to change something, they can. They don't need to put in a service request. They don't need to wait the amount of time for that service request to be processed. Of course, there's risk involved with that, but if they know what they're doing and if it's managed correctly using something like master data services, then it's quite empowering for the business. A note on terminology. So, encapsulating your master data, you would have something called a model. And in some ways, it can be compared to a database, certainly in a logical capacity. Inside of that, you will have what are called entities. And these, again, logically could be compared to tables. And each entity has attributes. And attributes could be logically compared to columns on tables. And each entity, if it contains data, it's going to contain what are called members. And they're just the MDM term for rows. So the model encapsulates, the entity holds the data, attributes are like columns on the entities, and members are like rows on the entities. So why do you need master data management? I've touched on a lot of the points already, but just to summarize, if you have no single version of the truth, so if you can imagine a scenario, let's say, for example, where the accounting department have their own copy of the master data, their own copy of the product list, and operations have their own copy of the product list that they're managing separately, and risk have their own copy of the product list, and so on, it won't be long before some of the lists get longer, some of the lists get shorter. It won't be long before there's duplicate data, they're using different codes to represent the same product, or worse still, they're using the same codes to represent different products. So without a centralized or single version of the truth in terms of master data, you're looking at a divergence in your data, and obviously data quality and reliability is going to drop. So as I said, reports may not be reliable. It leads to poor decision making. Master data management will move you towards that single version of the truth. As I said, data governance, with your data governance strategy in terms of creating the data, managing the data lifecycle, end-to-end. Not necessarily end-to-end, but certainly, but potentially. We'll go through some examples and you'll see. Master data management can really help with formal dimensional maintenance. And if you have a number of people trying to work, edit the record at the same time, something like master data services is quite helpful because of the auditing functionality of master data services, which we'll look at later, and the versioning aspect as well. So it all leads to data stewardship, and this is the term. Have you heard of data stewardship? All right, good. And obviously it's the actual act of looking after your master data. By the way, before we go any further, can I get a show of hands? Have you worked or played around with Master Data Services 2008 R2? Okay, I got three, okay. Master Data Services 2012, all right, we're getting up to about 30%, 40%. 2014, okay, 30%. 2016, okay, we've won up the front. So, master data management ecosystem, where does it fit in? So now that you've identified that you want to manage your master data, how does it fit into the larger organization? So this is a boilerplate example of, at the heart of it all, you've your master data management hub. You've your master data management hub. And that can support your transactional processing, so your operational, your CRMs, your ERPs and whatnot, your billing. So, for example, this aspect here is feeding off a consistent product list. And, for example, if you have legacy systems that may not be ready to process the latest version of the product list, you can use versioning. Over here, you've got your analytics aspect. So you're moving towards a position where your data is more trustworthy, your reports are more trustworthy. And then up top, if you want to integrate new systems, why reinvent the wheel? You've already got that consistent and managed version of your product catalog or your customer catalog. So you can start integrating them straight into that. So that's a typical example or ecosystem of how master data can tie in with the rest of the organization. And as I said, governance, data quality, security, and managing the data lifecycle. A brief history of MDS. So Master Data Services was originally an acquisition by Microsoft. They bought the application from a company called Strateger. And that led to the first release, 2008 R2. Some would say 2008 R2 was a beta for MDS, but a lot of people I know are getting a lot of use out of 2008 R2. So as I said, this was the first version. What key things that weren't available here were, for example, Excel integration. So why is Excel integration important? Well, if you want business users to start working with master data, something like Excel is something they're already familiar with. So if you want business buy-in, something like Excel is very useful. SQL 2012 saw the Excel add-in being introduced. There's a lot of improvements, for example, around staging tables. 2014, there's no difference. Except that if you create a model in 2014, you can't import it, deploy it into 2012. But other than that, 2016, there's a lot of improvements which we'll be looking at today. Architecture. So MDS has two key components. There's SQL backend, where the application logic is, so your stored procs, your staging tables, your entities and whatnot. And there's a web function also. So a lot of stuff runs through IIS, and we'll look at that in our demo. Actually, because it's running through IIS, because of how it's configured, every piece of functionality in MDS is surfaced as a web service. So for example, at the moment, we're working on an implementation where the model is going to have at least 300 entities. And if we want to recreate that, We're actually using web services to do that. There is a scale out option with MDS. As I said, you have your SQL backend, your web front end, and typically you can install them on the same server, but if needs be, you can break those out. And since 2012, one of the cumulative updates, MDS is also cluster aware. As I mentioned, end user interfaces, there's an Excel add-in. Okay, it's free, it's downloadable, and it works with Excel 2007 onwards. And there's the web interface option, which we'll look at shortly. Capabilities. Okay. At the heart of it, you have your MDS hub, where the data stewarding takes place. And the data steward will use the Excel add-in. The data steward will use the web interface. As I said, the Excel add-in is great for business buy-in, and we've got a lot of traction with the Excel aspect. With modeling, you can version your models and so on. There's role-based security. So the security can get quite granular in master data services. So you can manage security at the functional level in the hub. So administrators who can version data and so on. You can configure permissions at the model level. So that object that encapsulates your data. You can go down further, configure at entity level, column level, and row level. Now with 2012 as well, just on the note of permissions, they've made it more granular. So previously, the permissions levels, for example, on entity level would have been read, update, or deny. But they've made it a little bit more granular, so now they're select, the typical ones you would expect actually, select, insert, update, delete, and by the way, with deletes, in true master data spirit, can't delete. It's very difficult to delete master data. What actually happens typically is when you delete master data using either the Excel add-in or the web UI, you're actually deactivating the data. So the data just doesn't just disappear. Now in 2016, they've made it easier to delete the data. And this was at the request of end users. When you make a change, you can annotate that change and you can say why you're doing it. So from a management perspective, you've got a little bit more insight as to why did that person make that change. These here are your examples of integration with your MDS hub. So each entity, when you create an entity, out of the box, you've got a number of objects within a database, and one of those objects is what's called a staging table. So if you want to bulk load data into your staging table, something like SSIS will drop the data in, and depending on how you configure that bulk loaded data, MDS will only do inserts. MDS will do inserts and updates for you. MDS will deactivate members or rows, or MDS will actually do a proper delete, and there are different tweaks on the deactivations and deletes as well. So this can all be automated as well using what are called MDS staging tables. And we'll look at an example of those as well. As I mentioned, all of the functionality in MDS is surfaced through web services, so that can be quite useful. Subscription views. Actually, if we go back here a little bit, to this. If you want to share data from here to here, a very useful way of doing it is through subscription views. Now you can use web services as well, but you're going to need a developer to do that. But if you want to just use SQL, something like SSIS, then what are called subscription views are very useful. So you create an entity, a staging table is automatically created. And you can also create subscription views per entity and per version of data in that entity. So you would create a subscription view here and something like your data warehouse or whatever functionality here can plug straight into those subscription views and hoover the data up towards the analytics aspect. Likewise with integration here. So that's your staging tables, web services, subscription views, and the MDS Hub supports workflows as well. It's gotten a little better in 2016, but typically if you really want to make the most of workflows, you're looking at development, and there's a SharePoint integration aspect as well, so tap into SharePoint workflows. So MDS helps you with, there's DQS integration. Now I don't know if you've noticed, in SQL 2016, I haven't been able to find any updates to data quality services for 2016. But the integration is still there, so can be useful for picking out duplicates. That's the upside with DQS. The downside is, if you want to pick out duplicates with DQS, you already have to have a knowledge base in place. So you can't just take a data set and say, right, DQS, show me where are the duplicates. You've got to compare it to something you've got already in place. If you've got the knowledge base built up, great. If you don't have the knowledge base built up, you got to build it up. But the integration is there. And business rules. So business rules obviously help to ensure that your data is of the quality it should be. So fields, simple examples would be fields that are not null, that shouldn't be null, that are, or I'll show you the interface actually. It's quite powerful. So what you will see here is where there are improvements in 2016. So we'll come to this in more detail, but previously with versioning. So versioning is at the model level, and that's important. So if you want to do versioning in master data services, it's got to be at the model level, that database logical level. You can't do it down at the entity level, unfortunately. But with 2016, what they've actually done is created the following. So this is the second model. And you can have your customer list here. With 2016, now you can actually synchronize, you can integrate entities across models. So what's this an equivalent of? In the past, it was an equivalent of like saying you can't write a select to join a table in one database to a table in another. But now you can, which is it's much more useful. So now you don't have to, if you're going to version a model, if a model gets quite big, let's say you've got 90 or 100 entities in that model, you don't have to wait for all of the entities to be ready to be versioned. You can split them out now while still synchronizing them. The web front end's gotten a complete facelift, and the auditing has improved a lot. It's at the member level now. There's a lot of performance improvements with 2016 as well. Now you can index your entities, your attributes. Other performance improvements, for example, are you can compress your entities, and the entity level compression uses SQL Server row level compression. The traffic through IIS is faster. About a year ago, they rewrote the Excel add-in as well, and that's a lot faster now. So if you're working with MDS at the moment, like 2012 and whatnot, I would strongly recommend, if you haven't already done so, seek out the updated Excel add-in. Now, it's billed as working with 2012. It actually works with 2014 as well. And you see that specifically called out on the MDS blog. I think it's 4 times faster. It's a lot more robust, and I strongly recommend it. So if you go to the Master Data Services team blog, you'll find more information on that. So as mentioned, there's a web interface overhaul. Sharing of entities across models. That's your entity synchronization. Performance improvements. Another thing here is log retention. So with 2012, and 2008 are two out of the box. And I'm not sure about 2014, and I'll explain why in a moment. The auditing, everything can get audited. So every change that gets made can get audited, and that's perfect for data governance. Not so good long-term because obviously logs can grow. The more changes you have, the larger the logs. With 2016, they've made it very easy to manage those logs and trim the data back. So anything over a month old, you can just get rid of if that's in line with your data governance strategy. If you have SQL Server 2012, as long as you've got SQL Server 2012, SP1, cumulative update 15, that gives you three stored procs, three stored procedures that would be in the master services database where you can actually manage the logs in a easy way. Plus with scaling, on paper it says you go up to 1 million rows per entity, and now with 2016 it says it will handle up to 1 million, but obviously that depends on a lot of things like your environment, how complex the entity is. And if you do version an entity, if you have an entity that has 1 million rows and create a new version, now you've got 2 million rows. So that's worth keeping in mind as well. As I said, the permissions now are more granular. you can hold a number of versions of data in your subscription views. Change sets, so you can actually group the changes to a particular entity. This might sound like a small thing, but this note here in terms of MDS makes the front end a little bit more user-friendly, particularly for business users. Actually, this is a big thing for me, the display name. And they've revamped, or they've improved the Excel add-in functionality. So, we're halfway through the presentation, and as you may have noticed, I've spoken a lot about the theory behind master data management and not so much about the product yet. We're going to get to that, but if you've decided you want to go ahead with a master data management implementation, how do you get your master data into your environment, right? So obviously design patterns can help with that. There are four different patterns. And the first one is the transaction hub. If you're going greenfield, so if you're starting from scratch, the transaction hub design pattern is going to be the easiest to do. And the transaction hub is, as the name says, all your data sits in the master data hub. That's the master from the start. And that's fine if it's greenfield, but what if you've already got a lot of applications and they've got their own versions of the data, like the CRM application or the ERP application or your billing application, and they're quite happy with that? How do you integrate? How do you centralize all of that? Well, a first step towards that would be the registry hub design pattern. So what the registry hub design pattern will do is, if you have in your billing system the product catalog here, and in your CRM system or another system, it's the same catalog but managed separately, you can start building using the registry design pattern to say, right, well, this row in the master data hub represents the product in both systems, and in the billing system, this is the product ID, and for that same product ID in your CRM system, that's the product ID. So you can actually light touch start joining the dots. Light touch, you can start consolidating your data. The third design pattern is a mix of both. So this is where you've moved on from registry and you've started moving some of your master data into the hub. The master data doesn't have to be mastered in master data services. Master data services can be used as a centralized location, but it could be the receiver of the product catalog that's managed somewhere else, and from there, master data services distributes that catalog. So it all depends on what works, but if you keep these design patterns in mind, there's a fourth one, haven't used it, and it doesn't sound good. The consolidated hub, which is where it's very light touch, but I don't know how it would scale. Okay, so what the consolidated hub means is from your master data hub, you've got a lot of views, a lot of distributed views that reach out towards the different applications, and that's how you would tie your data together. So it's quite up to date, but with link servers and distributed views, the performance, your mileage may vary. So that's the consolidated hub. The data steward, as you heard of, the data steward is the guy that's going to look after the data. He needs to know what write looks like. He needs to understand how reliable is this data. He needs to understand the data. And he can have a technical or business background. It's whoever's positioned to look after the master data. The question as well is who owns the data? So you may have people who, you may have a situation where nobody wants to own the data. You may have a situation where more than one group wants to actually own the data. So there might be a political dimension as well. I've mentioned the auditing aspect with 2012 upwards. And there's indexing in 2016. We've already talked about the permissions, but just to summarize, functional are at the hub level. Model, as I said, it's that logical encapsulation of entities. Entity level is entity level attributes. So you can actually manage permissions down to the cell level if you use the row and column level permissions or the attribute and row level permissions correctly. Row level, you need to have what's called a derived column, which is like the foreign key for onto an entity, but it can be useful. There's a potential performance risk to this as well because of how it's configured. A quick note on setting master data services up. So it runs through IIS, and if you've configured features or roles on Windows Server, it can be tedious depending on how complex. So these are the boxes that need to be checked. And this is how the requirements are presented on MSDN. And there's actually a hierarchy here. It's not obvious because of how it's presented. But on MSDN now, you don't have to do that anymore, thank goodness, because somebody in Microsoft put together a PowerShell script that's on MSDN. And what you can do instead is run the PowerShell script, go away and have a coffee, and it will do the rest. Now, there's one exception, which is dynamic data encryption, dynamic data compression, which is another IIS feature that's suitable for 2016, but not previously. So that's something you still have to configure. All right. Given the data that's in it, we're going to do a master data services demo using data to do with the Euros. Now, that's me in my younger days. But what I want to draw your attention here to is my friend Mad Dave. That's not Mad Dave's actual hair. But more importantly, he thought that it would be critical to bring an inflatable shark to the match. But I can say on good authority that bringing an inflatable shark to a match doesn't bring good luck. All right, so let's have a look at the... So this is what the 2016 Master Data Services web interface looks like. The Explorer for changing and working with the data. As the name suggests there, if you just want to install the Excel add-in. We've got the administrative dialog down here. So if you want to create entities and business rules as well, integration, so managing of batched in consumption of data and SQL subscription views, version management, and permissions. So, actually, I'll go into, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick out the, not the Football Manager's model, but the European Championships model, version one, and we're going to start working with that data. So there are a number of entities in the model. So here's an example of the team's entity and their ranking. And if we look at the games entity, so these are the fixtures. Right. What you will see here on your left, you've got some drop downs, and these are what are called in master data management terms derived columns or domain based attributes. They're just lookups and they help with managing data quality. And I actually, just to show you here, I've got four entities on this hub, and I built this hub in about 15 minutes. Actually, through Excel, it's just so easy to build a hub to master data services. But what I want to show you here is, this is the data in the web interface. If I want to access that same data through Excel, this is the master data services ribbon, okay? So I'll give you a quick whistle stop tour of that. Actually, I can make that a little bit bigger. So up at the left, this tells Excel to connect to a hub. This gives a navigation aspect to list all the entities. This is just refreshed. The filter function here, if you've got an entity that does have, let's say, a million rows, you can click on this first and say, just give me what I'm interested in. So you're just downloading the subset, whatever is useful for you. Save queries and send queries, as the name says, publish. You can write data back to the master data hub via Excel, and this is how you do it. And then once you click publish, you can annotate the changes. Deleting, this is a soft delete. It actually just deactivates the data. If there are merge conflicts, you've got your history there. Audit information. This is if you want to apply your business rules. As I said, I created that hub quite quickly, and this button, I just pasted the list of teams into Excel, clicked on this button, and it actually created the entity in the model, uploaded the data for me as well. So once you have the data prepped, it's quite easy to do. So I'm going to connect to the master data hub through Excel, and I'm going to pick out the European Championships, and I'm going to pick out the fixtures. So now it's downloading the fixtures list from the master data services hub. Okay. And likewise, those derived columns, those domain-based attributes are supported in Excel as well automatically out of the box. And you can see that the ribbon has lit up now, that the data has been downloaded. But there's one fixture in particular that I'm interested in, which is the final. So we know that the final is going to be on in Stade de France, Saint-Denis. Who's going to make it to the final? Can you tell me? Pardon?
Not Ireland.
Okay, so that's one less. 23 countries. Any ideas?
Spain.
Spain are going to make it to the final. Who are they going to play against?
Germany.
All right, Germany. Okay. Any predictions? All right, I think Germany are on the up, so I'm going to give them a 2-1 win. Now, I'm going to publish that data. And the annotation will be demo SQL Saturday. So now it's published the data back to the master data hub. And if I go back and check the So there's the data persisted back to the hub. Now, someone wisely said Ireland's not going to make it. Well, let's say a data steward comes along and doesn't quite understand the data and says that in the final, it's going to be the Republic of Ireland. So what's happened here now, it would be an equivalent of applying the business rules. What's happened here now is MDS is saying, I'm not happy with that. I'm not happy with Ireland being in the final. And that's because, well, obviously there's a data quality issue. But it's actually because of a business rule. So in order to manage the data quality, this business rule checks. It's actually quite easy to configure. I'll take you through it. So basically, you would just click on Add. Let's see. Is Ireland in the final? V2. And you will. So if the home team is equal to an attribute value, and if it's the Republic of Ireland, then team home is not valid. And save. So that's it. The point of this, those few steps were, it's easy. It's easy to upload data. It's easy to manage the data. It's easy to configure business rules. So I would need to publish that as well to make it live. Just a note on getting data into Master Data Services. What you see here is obviously an SSAS package, and what I'm going to call out here is what's critical and what's nice to have. So up here is the data flow that takes the data from a flat file, puts it into the MDS hub. This next step will actually process the data. And what's important here is it's a stored procedure, and this automatically gets created out of the box once you create an entity in Master Data Services. And this is worth mentioning because, as you can see, hang on. The import type here is 2, so that means insert or update. So you don't have to manually configure ad hoc SQL statements to say if the primary key already exists, do an update. Batch tag's important to let SSAS know which set of data to process. What's worth mentioning here is all the data types, all the strings in MDS are envar cars, they're Unicodes. And by default, when you create a string attribute in MDS, it's 250, it's 250 characters wide. Now that can be managed as well, but that's worth noting. There are four data types in MDS, by the way. Strings, dates, numbers, and documents. So these next two steps are not essential, but they're very useful from a maintenance perspective. So each entity that has a staging table also has an error view. So if you're trying to load data and there's duplicate rows in there, there's values that are empty that shouldn't be and whatnot, it will actually work out that for you. So you have what are called staging error views. Again, out of the box. So I'm just doing a check here to see, well, if there are rows in that error view, which again comes automatically created when you create an entity, then this needs further investigation. So I'm just throwing a raise error here to indicate that it needs further investigation. And the final step here, validate model. This just calls a stored procedure to actually rerun all of the business rules. So if you've got a lot of business rules, you can find out upfront this data that I'm processing here, does it comply? Okay. So that was the Euros demo. A quick note on deployments. So if you want to get your data from dev to test or from test to production, out of the box, you've got a number of options. You can use the GUI, which is through the web interface, right? Which will move schema for you. So it'll move the entities and attributes. But if you have a model that's loaded with data that's been prepped and ready to go and you want to deploy it to a second environment, the GUI won't cut it. You got to go command line. So there's an extra switch on a command line application called dash include data. And it sounds like a small thing, but it's a big thing and it's very useful. So you have what's called a model package editor as well. So if you've got, let's say, 100 entities in a model package for deployment, you can open the model package editor, which comes out of the box and say, right, I only want to deploy 5 of these. I only want to deploy the subscription views associated with them as well and the business rules associated with a subset of those entities. This is the command line object. And one other thing to mention as well is when you're deploying a package, you can use what's called deploy new or deploy clone. Now, you're probably always going to want to go with deploy clone because using that option, each object in a master data services hub has a unique identifier, has a unique GUID. And if you use the function called deploy clone, it will know I need to update an entity on the far side on the target of deployment. So the message here is deploy clone. Okay. So this was what I mentioned at the start. If you have a setup where each part of the organization has their own set, their own copy of the product catalog, and they're working independently, it won't be long before things get diverged and things go out of sync. So here's an example of where we automated, we're putting in a data warehouse, we automated the incoming data, so from a transactional perspective, and we integrated master data services with the data warehouse directly. And as a result of that, the business users were able to administer their equivalent of the product catalog. And that, again, great traction with the Excel add-in. That really supported the reporting function. So now they're all working off, they're singing off the same hymn sheet now. Oh, apologies. So that's that there. So we're moving towards the summary now. And by the way, you might find on your desks there are some evaluation slips. If you would be so kind to fill those out, it would be very useful because it helps us as speakers to know what we're what's working, what we need to improve on. We very much appreciate it. So the pros and cons. Very useful for data governance, potentially. If you've got a data governance strategy, as I said, it can tick a lot of compliance boxes, for example. It can move the necessity for having everything running through the IT function. It can remove that, and it can really make things faster. That's with the Excel add-in. You've got the web interface as well. They're quite intuitive, actually, so non-techies can warm to them. There's a publishing aspect. It's easy to get started. As I said, I created that MDS hub in 15 minutes that had four entities. A number of them were intertwined, subscription views, the data quality rule, scalability, a lot of improvements in 2016, indexing, entity compression, the dynamic compression running through IIS. I'm led to believe that the deployment process is a little bit faster as well. So you may already be licensed for this. If you've got 2012 upwards, BI edition upwards, now BI edition is obviously CALS, you may already be covered. 2016, there's no BI edition anymore. By the way, 2016 developer edition is free. Have you heard about that? Okay. Business rules interface has gotten a major facelift. Versioning and modeling is a big thing. The data modeling aspect, I'm just going to mention this briefly. If you want to do a data modeling lifecycle end-to-end from conceptual, logical, physical, you're going to hit a dead end. You're going to need a third-party tool, or the web services might be able to help. There are ways around it, but this is something to keep in mind if you're going down that route. It still works on Silverlight. I'm not going to say any more about that. Everything's in the same application database. So this for me is a con, actually, because you've got all your application stored procs under the hood that you should never see sitting next to your staging tables and your subscription views and things like that. So there's a risk there in terms of application objects getting impacted. The deployment interface, as I said, you need to go to the command line if you want to include your data in your model deployment. And this would be an easy thing to include in the GUI, and I think it would help a lot. So, how far can Master Data Services take your business? Well, the moment you've all been waiting for. As I mentioned, it can really help with your data governance strategy, from creating data to sharing data to saying who can access the data to managing the quality of the data. Business buy-in. If you want non-techies to work with the data, the Excel add-in can help a lot with traction. The thing to note about Master Data Services is it's just an application. It's like project planning. You can have Microsoft Project, the latest version and whatnot, but it's only as good as the person doing the project planning. And likewise with Master Data Services, it's only an application. You need a data steward who understands the data and so on. It all depends on ownership and workflow. So as I said, who owns the data? Where's the data coming from? Where's it going? How's it being used? But if you can tick all those boxes, it can really empower the business in terms of them taking ownership of data quality and managing the data. As mentioned, SQL versioning plays a part. But if you, with the right version, you can get a lot of functionality out of the box. So obviously 2016, it's standard or enterprise, and you're going to have to go with enterprise. But if you do, you're going to get a lot of benefits from a Master Data Services perspective. But the final thing, and this for me is the most important thing, when you describe that you're putting in a Master Data Management implementation, people say, yay. When you tell them it's going to help with your single version of the truth and your data governance, they're going to say, yes. And then when you tell them, this needs looking after, it's going to regular care, that's an extra thing that might not have been part of the original expectation. This is not just an install and walk away. It's a bit like a garden. You can mow it and weed the flower bed and whatnot, but in 2 weeks' time, you're going to have to come back, especially in this weather, and mow the garden again, and there's going to be more weeds. So regular care needed with Master Data Management. If you keep all that in mind, that will lend itself to a successful Master Data Services strategy. So summarize, well, that was the summary, really. But just to go through it again, we talked about the what and why of master data, the capabilities of master data services. We looked at a demo. We talked about the pros and cons. And we looked at the question, how far can master data services take your business? As mentioned earlier, as the marketing expert AC Nielsen said, the price of light is less than the cost of darkness. Some resources here, as I said, the MDS team blog is very useful, and they'll be on the slides and they'll be available afterwards. So, do we have time for questions?
Yeah, we've got about 3 minutes left.
Any questions?
What's the largest size implementation you've seen one done in terms of like actual numbers of customers and products and different ERP systems interacting with and stuff like that?
So, the first example was the case study, actually, and in terms of interactions, so you've got a number of data feeds coming in, actually, from different data suppliers. So that was a key aspect to the size of it. So you had current functional transactional data. We had transactional data going back 18 years, and we had product data going back 18 years. So to integrate all that was quite a challenge because the downstream systems had their own product IDs and product information. So we had to consolidate that. We had to tie that all together with the in-house product catalog. So that was one example. And the second example...
How many ultimate products are you talking about? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, in that case, in that example, you're talking about 300 products, actually. So it wasn't the worst, but it was financial. So it was quite critical to have the make sure that the master data, the product catalog, was trustworthy. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I guess I just kind of wonder where the practical upper bounds are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If this is for around the kind of goal or product catalog is 50,000 products, then are you going, pure from a technical point of view, where you're going, that's fine, it can handle that, or are you in that whole...
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Chris. Is that?
Hey.
Yeah. How are we doing? That's it. So listen, thanks very much. I really appreciate you attending, and well done on making it for 8 a.m. or shortly after. Thank you.